Turn up the volume. We're crossing live to the sports desk. What's fresh? What's making waves? Let's find out.
There goes my hero. And one of the stories on the sports desk is a genuine hero as well. The great Seb Coe. What's going on here?
Yes, Lord Coe has done a big update here from World Athletics today, Smithy. Big question that's probably been on a lot of people's minds heading into Paris 2024. Are we going to see Russian and Belarusian athletes and officials there? Well, here is the answer.
The World Athletics Council has already made a number of important decisions regarding the future participation of the Russian and Belarusian athletics federations. And the amendment of eligibility regulations for athletes who are transgender and who have differences of sexual development, DSD. The Council agreed to the reinstatement of the Russian Federation, RUSAF, following 7 years of suspension. And that, of course, was due to the egregious institutional doping violations. However, athletes, officials, and supporting personnel from Russia and Belarus are still excluded from competition for the foreseeable future due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
So there you have it. No Russian, no Belarusian athletes or officials. Smithy, probably, I mean, the decision that I think most people would be backing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a fair caller. I mean, you just can't have them at the moment. And, you know, things have got to change quite drastically before that happens. The transgender thing too, I think, is becoming a very raw topic with a lot of people. But good to have some finality around that too.
Yeah, they do delve a little bit deeper into that. Before we get into it, I just want to sort of explain, I guess, the acronyms when they talk about transgender and DSD athletes. DSD stands for athletes with differences of sexual development. And this refers to just sort of differencing in, you know, chromosome count in their body. So not transgender, something completely different. But this is what Seb Coe had to say on the ban.
Let me now move on to the DSD and transgender regulations. The World Athletics Council has today taken the decisive action to protect the female category in our sport, and to do so by restricting the participation of transgender and DSD athletes. The decision was taken in consultation with a number of stakeholders, including 40 member federations, our coaches, our athletes, and through the Athletes Commission, as well as a range of other community groups, including trans groups, UN experts, the International Olympic Committee, and para athletics. Let me, if I may, start with the transgender athletes. The majority of those consulted stated that transgender athletes should not be competing in the female category. Many believe there is insufficient evidence that trans women do not retain advantage over biological women, and more evidence than any physical advantages have been ameliorated before they are willing to consider an option for inclusion into the female category. Unlike DSD athletes, there are no transgender athletes competing in international competition in athletics, and no observations therefore exist from the front line, in our case, the field of play, across the different disciplines that are specific to our sport, i.e. endurance running, sprints, throws, jumps, and road events. Where the science is insufficient to justify maintaining testosterone suppression for transgender athletes, the council agreed it must be guided by our overarching principle, which is to protect the female category. We cannot, in all conscience, leave our transgender regulations as they were at 5 nanomoles per litre for at least 1 year, when we were unsure about the impact of doing so across all our disciplines. So we need to know more, and we need to know more now.
Smithy, this move is huge coming from World Athletics. You know, earlier this month, we had Candice Riley come on to talk about how much these kind of actions and, you know, having policies going for just inclusion and not worrying about how it might affect female athletes and the impact that that's having on women in sport has been massive. So for World Athletics to kind of follow this similar line to FINA, the swimming body, governing body, I think it's great news.
Well, it is. I remember that interview with Candice Riley. She was very emotional about it, desperate almost, on the basis that it's just not fair for women. You know, and most of those events, it's just anything that involves strength or power, it is simply just not fair. And I could hear it in her voice. So people who are advocating this will be absolutely, I would imagine, thrilled this morning to wake up to hear that kind of thing come from Lord Coe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot needs to still be done, of course, to work towards inclusivity for, you know, transgender athletes. But I think blind inclusion clearly doesn't seem to be the answer. Well, that's not what a lot of female athletes seem to feel about that. But moving on to the boxing side of things, Smithy, are you a big fan of the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury?
I am, actually. I wouldn't say he's the greatest boxer I've ever seen. In fact, his physique makes me laugh a wee bit, and it's someone who shouldn't be looking in the mirror himself. But he's the biggest man I've ever seen with the skinniest legs I've ever seen. He's so good. He is just so good for the sport because he is so positive. He portrays it well. He's a showman. They carry him in on that big platform that they have, and then he sings at the end of it. I mean, he is the ultimate show. But at the end of the day, he's still a world champion looking for unification. But what's happened there? What am I hearing?
Oh, well, firstly, as soon as you said that about his physique, my mind immediately goes back to, I think it was 2017, and he stands up in a press conference and he jiggles his, his beer gut. He's like, does this look like a fighter's body to you? he's a legend. Yes, the WBC heavyweight champion was locked in with talks with his rival Alexander Usyk for an undisputed heavyweight battle that would unite four bouts at Wembley Stadium on April 29. It's not happening now, such is the way of boxing, and he is let rip on Instagram.
Usyk, you little house. You proper little bag, bog-eyed, gappy-teethed, ugly little rat. You little slimy. Tried all week to get out of it, begging for a rematch like a little girl. You got your rematch and didn't even want to fight at that. You little. Always know that you was never man enough to tangle with a Gypsy King. Ever in your life, you little. You little 14-stone coward. You little bag, you rat little. And your full team know it as well. And all the lawyers have got the full information. You little ugly b-. Keep running. Fight your way out of the copper box now. And always know that you or anybody else like you could never tangle with the Gypsy King, you most little coward.
I counted, I think there was about 13 in total. Some of them were stitched together, but about 13 censored words.
His voice, you see, the other thing about his voice, he could be 80 if you listen to him. He could be 80, 80 years of age, but my God, what a character. I wonder that, who sick feels about that. Oh, God, that's funny.
One person, of course, in the team, Smithy, who is big on combat sports and boxing, is our own Brian Lardini. You share a bit more on the situation.
Yeah, hey, welcome to boxing, eh? It's a bit of a farce. They never do themselves any favours not putting up the best fighters against each other while they're both in their prime. And this is just another time it's gone and happened. I remember when they tried to get Pacquiao and Floyd, and that didn't happen until they were both sort of past it. And this is the same thing's happening with Canelo. He's taking Triple G. They're taking on each other when they're both past it. And we never get to see who the true baddest man on the planet is. Back to Tyson Fury, though. How great for the game is he? The man can talk. The man's got everything. Swagger. He's just everything the game needs apart from the fight, which is the most disappointing part.
Brian, I can tell you, you're so damn passionate about the whole thing. I love it. But, you know, I just, as you say, where would he sit? I mean, Muhammad Ali was the greatest. I am the greatest. And, you know, he was known for saying that. But similar in that they both backed it up with their ability to fight. They both can do that. So where does Tyson Fury sit for you, Brian, in all time?
I think it. I think that's a bit of a generational thing there, eh? Because I would put him in the top. He's probably top three for me. Tyson being my top one, just because when I was a teenager, he was scary. And probably for me, Lennox Lewis, number two. And then I'd probably go the Gypsy King. If he was to actually have this fight and beat Usyk, I'd put him probably number one.
Right, okay, interesting. Not sure, well, maybe that'll fire Usyk up, if we can understand half of it. That'll be good.
Moving on in the sports desk, Smithy, because the New Zealand Cricket Awards were last night. And one award that got put out yesterday for the very first time was the Debbie Hockley Medal, and it's one that I know that you've been championing for a long time, and you're not alone.
I'm very pleased to be here tonight to present the award that does bear my name. But I would like to say two things. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate New Zealand Cricket on making the two Supreme Awards available, one for men and one for women. It was absolutely the right decision, so well done. It levels the playing field so that women can be acknowledged for their efforts in a significant way. Under the old structure, men play more games than women, particularly with three formats available. Therefore, men have more opportunity to excel and challenge for top recognition. I'm also pleased, Debbie, to see your name associated with your award. Over the last 13 years, sadly, no woman cricketer has won the Sir Richard Hadlee Supreme Award. So I think what I'm saying tonight proves a point, the need for two Supreme Awards.
That, of course, was the voice of Sir Richard Hadlee, the great man himself, on Spark Sport last night. Smithy.
No, very apt words, and I couldn't say it even any better myself. So he summed it up quite beautifully there. I mean, and the fact of the matter is women in this country of the modern era have not been able to play test cricket. It's just not been on their calendar. I hope someday they will, but they have not been able to, and that is very much a part of the judging criteria when it comes to an all-round cricketer. So 9:46 here on SENZ.